Reading today then from the New Testament, from 2 Peter chapter 1, one of those startling, clear passages that present to us the origin of Scripture, of the Bible, in God himself. But we'll start at verse 12 of that first chapter, 2 Peter, and then read through to the end of verse 21. Peter writes, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I'll soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you'll always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." I'm grateful to God for his word and for all that it has to say to us about God himself in our world today. I'm not sure how familiar the name of Trevor Nunn is to you. He is a sir. He's a director of theatre. He's an actor. He's a Shakespearean lover. And during the week past, he made the statement that Shakespeare is 100 times more relevant today than the Bible. He expounded that further, hoping to perform every Shakespeare play in his own lifetime, saying that the bard had more wisdom and insight about our lives than any religious tract. His works, Shakespeare's works, taught an understanding of the human condition not present in the holy book of any religion. So that's very strong stuff. And on, I think it was maybe Tuesday morning on Radio Ulster, they had Lindsay Allen together with a Shakespearean guy discussing. And I was quite impressed that Lindsay Allen was able to quote one of the sonnets of Shakespeare off by heart. So yes, he enjoyed the works of Shakespeare, but Shakespeare actually depended on Scripture and on God's truth for many of the things they actually wrote in his plays. I'm sure the debate will continue for some time to come. One of the issues that I actually raised, helpfully I think, was what is the purpose of the Bible? Is it the intention of Scripture that we should, in his words, get more wisdom and insight about our lives? Is that the purpose of the Bible? Is the intention of the Bible that we are to be given, in his words, an understanding of the human condition? It seems to me that both of those things are actually covered in the Bible, but it's not its main purpose. And while Trevor Nunn might like Shakespeare's views on both issues, it's actually the Bible which gives us the truth about both issues. Lots of folk through the centuries have written and spoken about the human condition, what causes it and what can cure it. But it is in God's mind alone And therefore, in his words alone, we find the true analysis of both and the true consequences of both. We spent 4 weeks looking at the God who is revealed to us in the Bible. And today we're looking at the Bible as the way in which God reveals himself to us. The God who wants us to know him has left his signature in creation. Sufficient, so as Paul says in Romans 1 and 2, we're left with that excuse. If we say we want to know God, there's enough about God shown in creation to leave us without excuse. But we said at the end of last Sunday morning that that doesn't mean to say that creation says all there is to us about God. And the Bible is the second of these formats that God has chosen to make himself known to us. Ultimately, God is only revealed in the Bible as some kind of byproduct of another purpose, but that's what the Bible is really all about. It is about revealing God to us. And so that's my theme with you this morning. To suggest, first of all, that the Bible reveals God because it comes from him. He has spoken these words. We take our Bibles and we say, this is what God has said. Not what people have said about God, or what people might think about God, what people have supposed about God, but this is what God has actually said. And what God says accurately reveals him to us. Which is quite an interesting thing, because that's not true of ourselves. Sometimes when we speak, we're actually disguising what's really going on inside our own hearts and minds. We talk about people speaking with forked tongue. In other words, they say one thing but actually mean something slightly different. Or they say something but inside themselves they don't really believe the very things they're saying. They're just trying to create a good impression. Some folks have said to dress to impress. And some people talk to impress, and probably we've all been guilty of being in some particular circumstance where we've talked a certain way with a Cherry Valley accent or something to impress those who are around us. And some talk up and some talk down. Those are the kind of phrases we have in our everyday language. It's saying that when we speak, we don't always honestly reveal what's inside of ourselves, but God is the opposite, isn't he? God is truth. When God speaks, we see his character properly, transparently, clearly, unambiguously revealed in what he says. When he speaks, God faithfully reflects himself. And the Bible helps us to see that. God actually puts these things in his word to help us understand that scriptures don't just tell us things about God, they reveal God to us. One of the clearest and best known statements of the Bible about itself and its role in this way are the words made in Paul's letter to Timothy. All scripture, he says, is God breathed. It's not a man-made, not even a religious people or religious organization concept and arrangement, but rather all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The word could be translated as exhaled by God. That when we take the Bible into our hands, we're saying, this is what God breathed out. In its entirety, accurately, in an inspired fashion, but it's God who has brought this thing about in which he reveals himself to us. Set that truth alongside what's written for us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God, the scriptures, the Bible, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or putting that into modern language, it's living and active, God has breathed that word out for us. Again, earlier we read in 2 Peter 1, and those closing words are powerful, aren't they, when you think about them? Above all, and he's been talking about the impact of God's word through the prophets in the past, the ongoing dynamic of God's word that was spoken to them in their hearing on the Mount of Transfiguration when God attested that Jesus really was his son, etc. And then he's saying, when I die and go, this is Peter speaking, you know, you'll still have something that lives, something that remains powerful and true. And he expressed it in these words. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is not the inspired words of inspired people who thought good thoughts about God and stuck them down on pages for us to read, but rather it is the thoughts of God himself breathed into the minds and hearts of those whom he caused to write his word. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what we have in the Bible is utterly and totally from God himself. God has spoken through the prophets, spoken his unchanging word, each to each himself revealing. And we take that word of God saying, this has come from God, he's spoken it, so therefore I can see him inside of it. God has chosen the Bible as a way by which he speaks to us and the way in which he reveals himself to our hearts and minds. So when we say, you know, I'd love to know what God thinks about A, B, or C. I'd love to know what God is like in this particular area or department. I'd love to know the heart of God. I'd like to know the plans of God. We're start to read his word. For the scriptures, the Bible, is the word of the living God. God revealing himself to us as it comes from him. Second, we say about the Bible that it reveals God because it is about him. The Bible is not just from God, it's about God. He's not just the author of this book, he is the central character in the book. God is its theme. God is its subject matter. Whether you're looking at Genesis 1:1 or right through to the end of Revelation, wherever you dip into the Bible at any point in your journey of faith, you dip into the story about God himself, the truth about God himself, a representation of God himself. He's its theme. He's its subject matter. There's a danger we look at the Bible and say, well, this is really about the history of the Jewish nation and how God stepped in from time to time to handle this people that were special to him. But it's not primarily a history of the Jewish nation. Rather, we see the Jewish people in the Bible as a people in relationship to the God who has founded them, promised them his covenant, directed them, led them, provided for them. It's about God and this people, not the people and who occasionally think about their God. The Bible is not merely a fascinating storybook. Rather, every story in the Bible is a story about events God was ordering, that God was directing, that God was arousing in the hearts and minds of people. Not just in a lovely storybook to be read to the kiddies as stories, but it's about God. He is at central focus of every page. The Bible is about God. The Bible is not a textbook on morality. Yes, we go to the Bible and we find within the Bible all that we need to know in order to find what is a proper moral code for my own personal life and for the world in which we live. But the moral guidance the Bible provides is totally derived from God, from his character, who he is. Go and say, look, I'm like this, but I want you to be different from me. So here's my moral code for you. Or here's what I would do, but you do something different. But I say, this is who I am. Look at me. See my character. Hear my words. Watch me act. That's what I want you to be like. And our morality gets based upon the God who is revealed to us in Scripture. It's not just a set of rules and regulations. The Bible is not intended to be a piece of classical English literature. Those who are English teachers and have taught their classes to read 1 Corinthians 13 in the King James Bible as a wonderful classic piece of English literature, well, I'll spare your blushes, because sometimes the Bible can be like that, but it's not how it was intended. God didn't actually write through those prophets in classic 17th century English language, did he? He actually wrote it in Hebrew and Greek or Aramaic and something else. So while we might look in our English translation and say, wow, that sounds so prosaic, so wonderful piece of literature, that's not the intention. The Bible's about God. He's its focus. The Bible is not a textbook on philosophy or a guide to scientific principles or an introduction to modern psychology. The Bible is about God. It's not even meant to be a textbook of proof texts to enhance our doctrinal beliefs. If we're honest, sometimes we tend to get that way. I'm in the middle of a big argument about some difficult point of theology, and I take the Bible up because this is my proof textbook. And we fail to see the God who is its core person, central character, main point. This is personal because I've been embarrassed many times, but the Bible's not a book of trivia for quizzes and questions. I think as pastors, we are the most embarrassed people in the world because you go into one of those quiz type things and you're asked, you know, who was the third eldest son of Mephibosheth or something like that. And all the kiddies know the answer and the pastors haven't a clue and they're really embarrassed. I don't know my Bible well enough. That's why we always keep out of quizzes. We sort of say, you know, I don't want to unbalance the teams here. What I really mean is, I'm so scared of getting it wrong that I'm not going to take part. Thank you very much. And it's right. I'm not suggesting we should ever teach kiddies or others some of those great factual things in the Bible. But let's never get to that stage where we start to handle the Bible as though it's just a brilliant source of trivia quizzes. The Bible is about God himself. When I open the page of the Bible, I'm intended to seek God in that page. I'm intended to see God in that page. I'm encouraged to find him in that page. So this is him showing himself to me. Not just things about God that others have written, or things that reflect God as others see him. But this is God who's speaking to me through the sacred page. This is his CV. This is God's autobiography written so that I can find him and know him and love him and trust him. Which brings me to our third point this morning. It reveals God because it points us to him. The Bible is a revelation of God because it comes from him. He's spoken and he, in his character, matches the things he says. It reveals God to us because it's about him. This is a book which from Genesis 1 to Revelation is speaking to us about God himself, so we focus on him. But it's also something that reveals God because every part of Scripture is designed to lead us into relationship with God. The Bible is intended to bring us to God, to know him, to love him, and ultimately to worship him. It's not an information book to tell us about God so we can have, you know, a really good concept of God in our minds. It will do that for us, but that's not its purpose. Those who go through theological education at any level know that struggle that always comes about keeping things in balance. I want to study this Bible theologically in college, whatever, so that I get to know the things, the truths, the facts about God and his dealings more clearly in my mind and heart. That's important that we do it. But there's always a danger of just doing that and not allowing it to mold our mind, our heart, our soul, our very life as we encounter God in it. It's not just a book of information about God so we can know the theory about God. It's intended to bring us into relationship with God so he touches the deepest core of our being. The Bible is not an encyclopedia of knowledge about God or an anthology of great inspiring thoughts about God. Rather, it exists to show us a God who wants us to worship him, to trust him, to believe him, to love him. Look at how the Bible presents that to us. You go right to the earliest verses of Scripture, and it depicts for us a God who is in perfect relationship to humanity in that ideal of the Garden of Eden. Go to the last chapters of Scripture, and here's a God who is in perfect relationship to humanity for all of eternity in glory. There's the two bookends of this book. A God who has human beings on his heart as he walks with them in the cool of the day in the early perfection of creation. And a God who has people in his family, in his father's home with him forever and ever and ever, enjoying him to the full. Those are the bookends, and everything in between demonstrates what has gone wrong in that process and how to put it right. Because God is a God of relationships who wants us to know him, to love him, and enter relationship with him. All about a God who wants us. If God's calling us into such a relationship with him, isn't it inevitable he will reveal himself in that way in the book he writes? And that's what he does. And every time I look at any story of the Bible, any verse of the Bible, any chapter of the Bible, I need to see it in that light. Here's a God who wanted humanity to belong to him and be affection towards him, who will achieve that at the end of the day. And this is all the process by which God shows himself to me as a God who wants me to be his own. So it does show us God's anger against sin. But it shows us God's anger against sin so that we'll turn away from our sin to him. He does show us his judgment, but he does it because he wants us to turn from the causes of that judgment and to seek him and his kindness. He shows us his mercy. Not just that we will be merciful to other people, but so we will call out to God for that mercy to be shown to us. He shows us his grace, so we'll abandon ourselves to it. Not just say, well, that's an interesting kind of religious philosophy, that God shows goodness to people who don't deserve it. He wants us to abandon ourselves to that grace and embrace it for ourselves and say, what a great God, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He shows us his love so we will trust ourselves to it and say, no matter how lonely, how isolated I feel I am in life, that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible, in a sense, is like a map, which shows us how far we are away from God. It says, this is a book about God. Here's how far you are away from him. Here's the way back to God from the dark path of sin. The way is open that we may go in. Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. Trevor Nunn might be right that Shakespeare shows us the human condition. But Shakespeare can't explain how that condition happened. And Shakespeare doesn't show us how it can be corrected. And Shakespeare doesn't empower us to make the changes we need. It's the Bible that does that. That requires the knowledge of God. My knowledge of Shakespeare is extremely limited. I wasn't an avaricious follower of Shakespeare at any point in my life. I did enough to get through the exams, and that was that. Merchant of Venice was, I think, the first bit of Shakespeare we ever had to learn in school in my days. And I didn't learn any of it off by heart. If I did, I certainly don't remember it now. So I am quoting, written in front of me, that part from Portia that is headed, "The quality of mercy is not strained." If you can quote it, follow along with me. "Mercy is above this sceptred sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself. And earthly power doth then show likest God's when mercy seasons justice." If I understand what that's about, it's saying there's nothing in all the human world that actually properly shows mercy. It's an attribute of God alone. I think Shakespeare got that one right. The Bible is a book which not only shows us God because it comes from him and his voice speaking to us, not just because it's about God as a central character and supreme theme of the book. It shows us God because all the way through the book, it demonstrates how we as human beings can experience mercy from a just and a righteous God who condemns our sin but embraces us in the sacrifice of his Son upon the cross. Mercy, forgiveness, grace, redemption, and acceptance by a holy God are not to be found anywhere except in the Bible of God and in the God of that Bible. The Bible shows us God. God reveals himself in Scripture. Let's thank him for that as we close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that the Bible is such a rich tapestry, that it does speak to all kinds of issues and situations in our lives. But we pray for that grace and that wisdom to see our great God in every page, every line of Scripture. Help us, Lord, not just use the book as a textbook for our studies or something we run through because it's kind of a duty to read it day by day. But help us to see beyond the sacred page the living God. Thank you, Lord, for making yourself accessible to us in this way. Help us to treasure it every day we live. In Christ's name, amen.